Good morning. I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And the Bible gives us some very important lessons in life. Just the other day, we had a birthday for our granddaughter who just turned 1 year old. It's a happy day. Her sister will be turning 3 here in a few months. But after they all left, guess what Grandpa had to do? Pick up all the toys. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. It says, "But when I became a man, I put away childish things." You get it? It took me a while to get it. But isn't that true? When you look what it says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." We grow up, we mature in so many different ways. This morning's class, as we're looking at the book of Jeremiah, the continual emphasis, Old Testament and New, is one important thing. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. And this is the heart of God's message to us today. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Now think about that verse for just a moment. Spoke to them by the prophets. As we're sitting here looking at the book of Jeremiah, as I read the prophets in the Old Testament, one thought that comes to my mind is, how did God communicate to them? How did he do it? I don't know. But they knew when God spoke to them. They had God's message, and they knew what God wanted them to do. Does God do that today? I see this shaking head no. Trick question. I'll ask it again. Does God speak to us today? Yes, he does. And it's so wonderful when you think about it. Because the way God speaks to us today is through his word. He doesn't speak to me any differently than he speaks to you, and that I can read his word. It's what we do with it that really matters. What we do with his word. Go down to chapter 2 in the book of Hebrews, verse 3. It says here, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, which was confirmed to us by those who heard him?" So there's a concern we have. And I know that this morning there are some here who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are some here who did not partake of the Lord's Supper because they made that choice. And I want to communicate to you directly exactly what God's word says here. Paul said it this way, "I'm not ashamed of what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God to salvation, to the Jew first and to the Gentile." And whenever we speak, we need to speak as what? The oracles of God. We need to have a sense of urgency and love for those we come in contact with. Because if you just come here and sit in a seat, you don't worship God, you hear his word, but you reject it, you're not rejecting me. Who are you rejecting? You're rejecting God. So let's give that some thought. This is serious. Heard the other day. Are you serious? Yes, God is serious. You need to hear his word and you need to obey. Look at that verse again. "How should we escape if we neglect the greatest salvation that at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him?" What he's saying is, we heard, we saw, and now we are communicating the message to you. Go now to chapter 3 and verse 13. Chapter 3 and verse 13. And notice the words the Hebrew writer tells us. "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And that's what we're doing this morning. We come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And what we're trying to do is remind each other. We don't come here just to fill a seat, do we? We don't do that. We don't come here just to listen and to, let's get this over with. We come here for one reason, and that is to worship and to give praise to God. And we need to exhort each other daily, as he says here, while it is called today. Because you might not have what? You might not have it tomorrow. So let's help each other, remind each other. Lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's what God does not want us to do, is to be hardened in that kind of way. What I'd like us to consider this morning in detail is we have before us choices. A baby coming into the world, under normal circumstances, has two ways to go. Is that a true statement? A baby has, under normal circumstances, two ways to go. Either they will grow up to maturity, they will become accountable, they will know good from evil, and they're going to be held responsible before God. Or a child could die and go where? Go to heaven, be with God. Now this is important to understand. When we come into the world, when that infant, that baby, under normal situations, if they're allowed to grow and mature, they'll come to a knowledge, hopefully, of God, and they're going to have to make a decision. But if they die as an infant, they are saved. And I'm going to show that here. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39. Because a child does not inherit sin. There are some who teach that. They teach when you're born, you are born with sin. And that is not in the Bible. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39, moreover, you little ones and your children, who you say will be victims, who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there, and them I will give it, and they shall possess it. So he talks about your little ones, your children, who have no knowledge of good and evil. Now think about it. Can you remember when you were 1 year old? Can you remember when you were 6 months old or 5 months old? I can't. I can't remember what I did yesterday, let alone that. But my first memory that I had was when I was much older. I think I was around 6 or 7 years old. It's my first memory. And my first memory that I can go back and remember is at that age I was going to the hospital for an operation. That's my first memory. But I do know this because I was told later, my parents took me as an infant to be what? To be baptized. Did I know right from wrong? No, I did not. Did I know who Jesus was? Did I know who God was? No. My parents did it out of love and sincerity. They sincerely believed what they were doing was right before God. But just because we are sincere about something, does that mean it's right? No. Let's turn now to Ezekiel chapter 18. The same idea. A child, if it's allowed to grow, ultimately would become accountable for what it does. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 19, yet you say, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? Because the son has done what is lawful and right and has kept all my statutes and observed them, he shall surely live. There were those who were saying that, hey, your dad did this, so you need to be held accountable. And God says no. Look at verse 20. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. That demonstrates that we do not inherit sin. There's a subtle thing, though. If your father sinned, if your father went to jail, if your father committed murder, there's consequences, aren't there? And those consequences are going to affect his family. So just because there's some consequences does not mean that you are held accountable for what your parents did. There's a big difference. Let's turn now to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Because eventually, you're going to sin if you continue to grow. Eventually, you're going to do that. Does anybody here, don't raise your hand, remember the first time you did something wrong and you knew you sinned against God? I remember the first time I did that. And it was horrible. I knew God said, do not lie. Do not steal. And guess what I did? I stole and I lied about it. Two things. And it was horrible. I didn't know what to do with this. And I had to be taught later what to do with it. Because when we sin, we are guilty before who? We are guilty before God. And that's why we need to teach our children. They need to understand there is a right way and there's a wrong way. We talked about accountability. When a child misbehaves, should they be corrected? Yes. Because if that child is not corrected, it's going to continue to do it, isn't it? It'll do it over and over again until it learns there are some repercussions and some consequences. The ages have changed, but when I was a kid growing up, if I did something wrong, and back then the kids just walked it everywhere. I could be five blocks away, do something wrong. Before I got home, my parents were called. Your child did this, and guess what happened as soon as I walked through that door? My dad had his belt, and I was going to get a whipping because I did what? I did something wrong. Kids need to understand there are consequences when they do something they're not supposed to do. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, therefore, just as though one man sinned into the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Consequences of sin is what we see in the world today. Physical death, physical pain, physical suffering. And we understand that that was not God's intent. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. Jesus also expresses about a child, about being safe. Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for as such is the kingdom of God. Let them come away to me. So again, we need to make sure we understand that children, when they are born into this world, they've got two options, or two things possibly in normal conditions. They'll grow, become an adult. They'll learn right from wrong, and they're going to have to make a decision which path to follow. Or they could die, and they will be saved before God. Another choice we have. And again, there are some here today who are sitting here, and you have not obeyed God. You stand before Him condemned. And you have a choice to make. One choice is you can place your trust completely in the Lord. Be obedient to Him. Let's turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 29. God wants you to know who He is and do what He says. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This morning we partook of the Lord's Supper, yes? Is that something that's an option? No, not for Christians. It is what? It is a command. Upon the first day of the week, we gather together. One thing we do is to observe the Lord's Supper. Remember His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And look forward to His coming again. That's not an option. That's a commandment before God. But yet if you're sitting here and not yet obeyed the gospel, you've not partaken of that, you are doing what? You are disobeying God. You're not being faithful to Him. You're not making the right choices. So those who have not yet obeyed the gospel, you can continue like that. You can die in your sin, or you become a follower of God. Now, that's not because I say so, but who says so? God says so. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God does not want you to continue in sin. God does not want you to reject Him, no matter what excuse you might have or could come up with. Are we all good at making excuses? I've been good at making excuses. Okay? I've been good at it. And I'm sure there are all of us sitting here, at one time or another, we made an excuse for not doing something we should have did, or an excuse for why we did something we should not have done. Now look what it says here about this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Because God does not want you to be separated from Him. Is there any parent here who wants their child to be separated from them? I don't think so. I think most parents, they love their children and they want to be close to them, don't they? That's what they want. They want the best for them. In 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning of verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what He desires. Not that any should perish, but that should all come to repentance. And what that quite simply means is this. We are going to reap what we want. We're going to reap what we want. What we sow. Let's turn now together to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. And this is interesting. Think about it. Reaping and sowing. Reaping and sowing. We have a little bird feeder up in our yard. The birds don't get it, the squirrels get it. Now, if you have any ideas how to stop from squirrels, please let me know. Right, I don't even know how they get up there, but they get up there and they get all that bird food. They spill on the ground. And we have in our yard now a sunflower that grew up. It's beautiful, okay? I'll have to thank the squirrel for planting that seed. But you will reap what you sow. Now, look what it says in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is what? Is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, the idea that you are going to reap what you sow. So if you're here this morning, you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now the gospel of Jesus Christ is 200 pages long and has 1,000 different details in it. Is that a true statement? No, it's not. The gospel is quite plain and quite simple. On the day of Pentecost, they were convicted and said, what do we do? And what did Peter and them tell them? You remember what he said? Repent and what? Be baptized, every one of you. Now, let me ask you, do you need a doctorate in physics to understand that? Do you need a doctorate in physics, or do you need to have a law degree, an engineering degree, to understand what the Bible says? I don't think so. And if you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel, let me point that out clearly to you. The wages of sin is what? Is death. And the message is quite simple. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that phrase, in the name, what does that mean? Anybody know? It means by His authority. What He has commanded. We need to obey the commandments of our Lord. Again, turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Because sometimes we think we can get away with it. We are not going to get away with it. And this is important. Galatians 6, 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Now, Jesus did not come into this world to condemn it. Let me say that one more time. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world. He came into the world to save those who were lost. Let's turn to John chapter 3, verse 17. Jesus came into the world for you, and He came into the world for me. He came into the world for you personally. And He walked to that cross, He died on that cross for you and for me. It's a personal thing. In John chapter 3, verse 17, for God did not send His Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's why He came, that the world through Him might be saved. Now again, if you're going to turn to Jesus, there's a lot of what that means. But let's look at a portion of it. Turn to John 14. verse 23. John 14 and verse 23. Because here we're told what Jesus expects. In John 14, 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So there's condition. If you love him, you will do what? You will keep his word. That's what he wants you to do. Now there's something else. There's lots of different options. There's also those here today, and you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've been faithful to this day. But there's still a couple things that could happen here. You might be faithful now, but you could turn your back on Jesus. And you could become unfaithful to him. You could depart from him. Or, if you don't do that, if you die, where will you go? You'll go to heaven. You got your choice. Continue to be faithful, or turn away from him and be rejected by him. So we've got those two different ways. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Because here is something that is a very sobering thought. And I was thinking about that as I was preparing the message this morning. We come here for the purpose of worshiping our God. I remember one person in particular. Look up at the ceiling. Everybody look up at the ceiling. Start counting all the dots. There's actually one person who did that. They didn't worship God. Their last concern was to worship God. They're out there counting how many dots is up on the ceiling. Now think about that for a moment. When you come here, is it because I've got to show up. I need to say hi to everybody. No, I hope not. You're here for one reason, or should be here for one reason. That's to glorify our God. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Give him worship. Honor him. God has got to be first in our lives. Not counting those things up on the wall. My wife's shaking her head. I said something. Again, look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among these people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. So here are those who are going to deny the Lord and bring on themselves swift destruction. So think about that. Can that happen to a Christian who's been faithful? Can they turn away from God and reject him? Yes, they can. And unfortunately, perhaps many of us know of our brothers and sisters who have done that. They walked away from God. And their concern now is not putting God first in their lives, but it's other things that have swayed them away from doing what they need to do. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 12, because here's a warning that Paul gives to Christians. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There's the warning. Be careful. Examine yourselves every day. Am I doing what God wants me to do? Every day. Take heed lest you fall. So a Christian must choose. Either to remain faithful to Christ, or you're going to turn away from him. Now this is something that's encouraging to me. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Because our God is not going to reject us. Our God does not want to reject us. Let me put it that way. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, the question is asked, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall do it? And as we study the book of Jeremiah this morning, the prophet goes through all the different trials he goes through, trial after trial, hardness, all these difficult things. But God wants him to be faithful no matter what happens. That's what God expects. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, or pearl, or sword? For as is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then he summarizes. Look at verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything, or not either any created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we make a choice. We be faithful to him. We put him first in everything that we do. That's what he expects us to do. Now, is that easy to do? Is that easy to do? Is it easy to do? No, it's not. It is not easy to do. Let's turn together to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Because here again is some encouragement. Hebrews 4, verse 11. It's not easy. And he says, let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest. Be diligent, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So as a faithful Christian, be diligent, work at it, do everything you can to be faithful to the Lord. And then one last example. There may be somebody sitting here this morning who has not been faithful to God. You've obeyed the gospel, but you're unfaithful. I don't know it. Your neighbor might not know, but you know it, that you're being unfaithful to God. You have a couple choices. You can continue to be unfaithful, and what will happen on Judgment Day? You will be rejected. Or what can you do? You can repent and turn back to God. And that's my prayer that you do. If you're here this morning and you've been unfaithful to the Lord, you've obeyed the gospel and you know what's right or wrong. Whoa, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Now think about this. If you're unfaithful right now, you're sitting here right now, you know the truth. You've obeyed the gospel. But something has turned you away from God and you're now being unfaithful. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in it and overcome, the latter end is worse from them than the beginning. What's he saying? It's going to be bad news for you. Bad news. Look at verse 21. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But as it happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit. A dog returns to its own. Have you ever seen that? It's a disgusting and sickening sight. But that is what's described here from somebody who has turned away from God. You're turning again to your own vomit. So the bottom line for the message this morning is very simple, isn't it? You have a choice to make no matter what your condition is. You're going to be faithful to God, obedient to him, or what? You're going to reject him and walk away. That's a choice you have. And my prayer is that you make the right choice. Make the right choice. If you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel, we want to encourage you to take that step. If you're a brother or sister in Christ, you need the prayers of the members here, please come forward. We stand and sing the song of invitation.